Joined now by Brent Sanford, Commissioner of the North Dakota University System, State Board of Higher Education today selected you, Brent, to serve as the Commissioner of the System. First of all, you've been in this job since April. It's got to be nice today to get the announcement that you will go forward in the permanent position to lead the university system.
Yes, absolutely. Thanks, Chris. It was a good affirmation that the 5 months have been in the right direction for what the board is expecting and wanting us to do. And it's definitely a why in the road when you get to this point of, okay, if they don't want to go with you in the permanent position, then what do you do as fulfilling the rest of your interim period? And what do you help them out with in the meantime? And so, you know, it's two very different directions, right? So it was validating and it was affirming to have them to all vote unanimously to move me into permanent. Yes, it was a good thing.
Now you take the reins from Dr. Mark Hagerot, who had served the university system very well. Talk to me about what the last several months have been like in building this university system and building off of what Dr. Hagerot brought to North Dakota.
Yeah, of course. He lifted our mindset in for the, you know, where I interact with him was in defense technology, you know. So I was the chair of the Northern Plains UAS test site, and we interacted on counter UAS and on UAS uses and military and how all of that is, you know, we have a lead position in the nation up at Grand Forks at Grand Sky and the Air Force Base and with all that ecosystem around the UAS companies there. But not only in with the defense technologies, but in AI, of course. And that was his expertise, and he was really out in front. What he's talking about is making sure we have uses of AI within higher ed, make sure we are training the scientists and the data scientists and those that are going to be utilizing AI as a strength and going forward, and making sure that we're staying in front of China and adversaries on AI on the skills involved. And where I always enjoyed visiting with him was I was coming from the energy side of the equation. So I was expressing that today in my comments to the board is, hey, Doug Bergam and I saw that the opportunity with the excess energy that we produce here and the fact that these data centers should be here. This is where you should build an AI data center when you have cold weather, so you don't have to cool the things half the time, and we have prolific natural gas and prolific electricity from our coal-fired plants, and we have a lot of wind. We're one of the windiest states, and we've actually got a lot of wind towers up, so it's a perfect storm, and since Bergam has left office, it's like a hurricane of activity, and he's telling me he's working on it every day, and as Secretary of Interior on energy policy and such, that these companies realize North Dakota is a place to come and generate power and build those data centers for AI computing. And, you know, my question is always, why doesn't it just go in Western North Dakota where the natural gas is? So the latest one coming up in Harwood, you know, so then the question to me was, is there excess power to that degree? And so of course I know the executives at the power producers on that side of the state too. And they generate their power in the middle of the state. And they said, yeah, that's a good spot to go. And so, you know, there are some spots statewide, but there's still a lot of opportunities. There's some announcements that will be coming out west when you have this much natural gas. This is a great spot to build peaking plants or to go next to Basin's new combined cycle natural gas plant and have that power capacity you need to run the data centers. And so, you know, as a state here we are, we'll be having the sites where the computing power is generated. And what Hagerot was teaching us, and with Dakota Digital Academy and with Todd Pringle working there with him, was that you've got to make sure to preserve some of that compute power for higher ed and for your needs and uses in harnessing the opportunities. And so, you know, we've got a lot of good activities happening at UND, NDSU, and higher ed with Valley City with teaching AI instructors. And so that's a legacy we've brought forward from Mark. Now, when I stepped in, we had some headwinds from the legislature. So typical, I'm used to that, sitting in at the end of conference committees and finding out what the legislature is going to do to the budget. And so higher ed had some oopses and had some good things. And so we've been responding to that as we've gone. One good thing was they gave the smaller nine campuses $10 million bucks for innovative workforce education programs. And we've already put that $10 million out. And then those are in new programs, including the innovation engineering program at Minot State. That's been calling for an engineering program in the western part of the state within the public university system for years and years, and they got there. And the startup funds will come from this $10 million grant fund that the legislature gave us in higher ed. So it was busy day one and jumping in at the end of April. I jumped in at the end of session during conference committee time, and a lot going on right away. It hasn't let up. It's always going to be busy. It's great. I love that aspect of it. There's plenty to do. There's a lot of people to help with the good work of educating our kids, bringing them on from the great K-12 education they get here in our state, the great CTE opportunities they have, and then the warm handoff into higher ed. And so we need to help them with whatever that next chapter looks like. Is the certificate programs? Is it a two-year associate program? What is it? Is it a four-year degree? Is it a master's, PhD? We can do it all. And, you know, let's be the place of choice for our students in the future for their higher ed needs. And so it's an exciting time. I feel like it's a good fit for me. I've been working and trying to help with workforce solutions for many, many years as an elected official. And this is ground zero for it. This is where it happens. So I'm excited.
You talked about Doug Burgum. You served as his lieutenant governor, and in that position, you were president of the North Dakota State Senate during your years in the Burgum administration, the first 6 years of Doug's two-year term. What in that position did you learn about higher education that maybe as you look back on your time in Doug's administration said, hey, this is a position that I really could excel at and really helped you make your decision to say, yes, I will accept that interim position. And now you're named the full-time commissioner of the university system.
What I learned there might've made me run. I heard the senator carrying the bill for higher ed say, we've put more money on the top and less has come out the bottom. You know, it was one of his bienniums. And he said, we're putting in more money and getting out less graduates. That's not good. You know, so the perception of the legislature sometimes is we're really spending a lot of money. What are you giving for me lately? What are you doing for me lately? And so I think that I'll be able to help bridge the gap on that. Because my friends are in the legislature. I've got relationships with people from all perspectives in the legislature. That's not hard for me. That's something that I've gained over a long period of time, and I enjoy that part of it. And so I look forward to that. But what really grabbed me was I jumped in on Envision 2035, and Kevin Black and Chancellor Hagerod asked me to do it. And I was consulting. It was after I had left the office, and I thought, higher ed's not where I intend on going. I'm gonna get back in the private sector somehow, right? I'd taken consulting jobs to help a coal company with CO2, to help the oil companies bring in Ukrainians. And then the next thing was, can you help us in higher ed with trying to get out the word of what we have for these wonderful programs and into where the kids are, because our enrollment is declining in these energy programs. So I jumped in to help, and we started bringing the energy process technology degrees and the automation robotics degrees into the high schools up in the Bakken. And now what we have this school year start, 60 students that are doing that now where we had zero before. And to frame of reference, there's 5 students in the automation program at Bismarck State, and there's a need for dozens and dozens of these grads as everything goes to automation. You've got oil field processes going from, they don't call it robotics necessarily, they're calling it automation, and you're actually having a lot more electronic data being shared in different ways versus having people go out and read the gauges, that kind of thing. And so someone has to be able to work on that equipment. And that's who we need to be able to train here, people that can work on the equipment. And so we did that in the high schools. And I really started thinking about, this is a continuum from early childhood. I helped start Wolf Pup Daycare in Wofford City when I was a mayor. I know how important that is to get started right away, come through K-12. And then you know, get that career exploration happening in junior high. And then again, the CTE, the internship opportunities, the co-op job opportunities when you're in high school to get an idea of careers and then jump into higher ed. And I thought, you know, this is actually where it's happening is in higher ed. I can see staying in this. And then, so I was consulting. Then they asked me to be interim president of Bismarck State. I thought, well, that's a little bridge too far possibly, but I enjoyed the heck out of that first semester. And then when Hagerot left early from the remainder of his contract, they asked me again, okay, now we need you to come and help us in the system office. This is statewide opportunity again. And I did find it interesting to be only representing Bismarck State's interests. And because you know me, Chris, I'm interested in the whole state. And so I appreciate this being back in a statewide focus and helping all the institutions. We can cover the whole state and more. And it's super exciting. I'm excited about it.
Let's take a look at a big picture view, Brent. Talking with Brent Sanford, North Dakota University System Commissioner. What are the biggest challenges that the North Dakota University System faces as you hit the ground running as the new full-time commissioner?
Well, the first thing is a nationwide issue called the cliff, where you have demographics working against most of the nation. We have a young state. We have a young Western North Dakota. We have a young West Fargo. I mean, and so we've got, so we're bending the curve a bit, but other states are seeing dramatic drop-offs in high school graduates with the demographic cliff. And we're not. It's looking like possibly second grade might be when we see it. So maybe 10 years from now, we're going to have that cliff. But today, it seems like an equal flow coming into the as potential students. But the percentage of students choosing college has gone down about 10% in the last few years. And we still rank 10th in the nation in the number of, as far as being best on a lower number of those not choosing to go to college. But I'd like to make us number one, where we've got the lowest number deciding not to go to college after graduation, right? And so, you know, let's try to bend that curve and let's try to be the best in that area. And so we've got a lot of room to move. Some of these communities are 50% where the graduating seniors, 50% of them not going into the military or into college. So that's opportunity for us to actually grow enrollment in a period where your inflow might only be a similar number as last year with high school grads. But here, if we get a higher percentage of the grads, we could increase our enrollment, unlike some of these other states where you're seeing closing institutions, et cetera. So there's a demographic cliff and a choice to not go to college that's kind of a cliff. And then another one is that the money going towards higher ed when your budgets are tight and your legislatures are getting more conservative, that's a real concern. That's an existential crisis when you might have funding reductions, even if the budget situation for the state isn't too bad, but it might be chosen as not a high priority. So we need to make sure we are high priority for all persuasions of legislators from left to right, north to south, east to west, that, hey, our public system of higher ed is producing workforce solutions for the state in the careers that are needed to make our economy go, to create more taxpayers, have more opportunities for our kids. And we've got to be that place. We've got to be that place they look at as the number one source of workforce solutions and the number one workforce solution for our state. And that should help us with those kind of headwinds, because at some point, there will be less dollars to go around in North Dakota. At some point, there will be less oil dollars to be spread around as they are today. The price might go down. The production might go down. That's something that within our lifetime, Chris, we're going to see. And so I want higher ed to be in a really strong position of saying, you know what, but we can't reduce funding very much there, because that's where we get our workforce from, you know. So that's the goal.
Anything else about this position or the North Dakota University System, Brent, that you want to highlight today and in the time that we have?
No, thanks for the questions, Chris. I appreciate it. It's a good day. I'm excited. It's been fun, and I'm looking forward to the future. So I appreciate it. Thank you.
Commissioner Brent Sanford, thanks for your time today.
Thank you.